Risen from the ashes to school the masses. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Scholars of Wrestling Show. I'm your man behind the microphone and your current reigning Scholars of Wrestling party champion. I am Scholar Jeff. Joining us this week, as always, is the still OG Undisputed Scholar himself and still your Scholars of Wrestling world champion. He is Scholar Tarek. Scholar Tarek, see any good wrestling shows lately?
I have seen great wrestling shows lately because WrestleMania was just absolutely wonderful.
Oh boy, was it?
Well, it will never be on the same comparison as you, fool, which I'm very glad that you and the missus had a very good time. I'm very happy for you guys.
And for the record, in case you are watching us on YouTube, the visual version, I managed to get quite a bit of autographs on the party belt over WrestleMania weekend, thus solidifying it as my belt and me going down in history as easily the greatest party champion in the history of this show. But that's a bit of a digression. Please continue.
I must say, fool, that little ego run there, it tasted very good. It tasted very good.
You're welcome.
Very refreshing. Very refreshing.
It is very refreshing. It's very refreshing to get that out of you. I'm very glad that.
I try not to be too braggadocious, but sometimes the facts are the facts. It just is what it is.
And it's hard to argue that. I acknowledge that.
Would you say that fact is undisputed?
I'm so proud, Brian. I'm so proud of him.
He's on a heater tonight.
I'm just a truth seeker. I'm just looking for the facts, my good man. That's all. That's all I'm
coming,
doing. Here.
Unfortunately,
well, coming from myself, and I'll just go ahead and introduce my co-undisputed scholar, Scholar Brian. Hello, Scholar Brian.
Hello there, Scholar Tarek.
I think you can also acknowledge that what Scholar Jeff has claimed could actually be factual.
It could.
Do we have this the undisputed seal of approval?
I don't know. You're the champion. You go first.
Well, in that case, then yes, I absolutely am going for it because you are absolutely right. I am the champion because I will say the undisputed scholars, you may have had the just experience of a lifetime going to, hands down, the greatest WrestleMania, in my personal opinion. At least that's how I view it. But, okay, now I lost my train of thought. Okay, yes, doesn't matter how, like, you had your experience. The Undisputed Scholars had ours by successfully keeping Goldie with us by dominating NXT Stand and Deliver. You had your own mark on it by taking the win for WrestleMania Night 1 in the predictions. And then Brian and I just came in and just swept everything in our clean sweep of predictions of WrestleMania Night 2. Which makes and with me taking the whole thing and successfully retaining this title, keeping it away from Charlie's cash-in at NXT NXT Stand and Deliver, and just
narrowly, the
entire WrestleMania weekend, the Scholars of Wrestling heavyweight champion is undisputed. WrestleMania is undisputed. And by the man himself, Cody Rhodes has declared himself undisputed. We're enjoying that ride.
I heard you say narrowly, Jeff. It doesn't matter how close or how far it is. Champion is champion.
Doesn't matter an inch or a mile, winning's winning. Yes, we all know.
Yes.
And hey, you just now solidified yourself as the greatest party champion. Enjoy that high.
My
undisputed
reign
undisputed.
Will be unlike any other in Scholars of Wrestling history for reasons that are now apparent. I have left an indelible mark on this title. And while others may and probably will come before me, you know what? I'm happy and proud of the reign, and it will not be the last. Let's put it that way.
Now let's work on Scholar of the Year so we can actually put you on top of the mountain with us, huh?
Hey, there were a lot of mountains to climb over the weekend. I'm just happy I made this one, but there's still so much more to talk about from the legendary weekend that was. But first, we do need to talk about a little bit of happenings from the AEW side of things. Tark, would you say this is a backstage news or just more of a reaction?
I'd say it's a recap.
I go with the recap. I would only put it under backstage news just because they're talking about a backstage segment. But that's just for humor purposes. Like, but this is a recap.
It's on the show. Everything we're talking about is on the show. So a week off from backstage news.
Fair enough. So yes, if you're watching it the week of, you've probably seen the latest from AEW. Right smack dab in the middle of their episode of Dynamite, the much hyped backstage footage from All In and the fight between CM Punk and Jack Perry, the backstage security footage was finally seen, and for my money it was not very good, and really it's clearly showed, even though that there was some very heavy words exchanged, we saw CM Punk shove Jack Perry first and tried again in some what appeared to be some degree of chokehold before everything was broken up. We saw CM Punk bump into the lead desk backstage in the gorilla position. We saw CM Punk yell at who apparently was Tony Khan before he ultimately stormed off. I'll say this right up front. I do not think that this was a very good look for AEW. It was just a big, embarrassing mark on what should be an excellent wrestling company. But ultimately, yeah, I can see what they were attempting to do. But in my view, it just wasn't done to great effect and ultimately clouded so many other great things that were happening on that show. At this point, I would just prefer to move on. But ultimately, Tarek, Brian, what did you make of this?
I'll say this. I'm not going to go as far as to call it embarrassing. Embarrassing would have been, look, there's been many comparisons made online between this moment and stuff that was going on in WCW around the 2000 time frame. Look, okay, if you're one of those people saying that you need to go outside, you need to touch grass, you need to get your mind right, because not even close. But here's the deal.
Absolutely not.
Here's the deal. Okay. This was underwhelming, to say the least. Apparently, according to Mr. Meltzer, who I only trust with my AEW backstage news anymore because he's kind of gone off the rails on the WWE side a bit. But apparently, we did not see the whole confrontation. Apparently, there was stuff afterwards where that was the actual moment that Tony Khan feared for his life. That was never in the footage that they showed. It was never a part of it. They kept everything. They showed everything that was going to be able to be used in the upcoming storyline that they're going to do when Jack Perry joins the Elite. So, okay, fine. Whatever. I'm just going to say this. There are two ways to handle a situation like that. There's a good way and there's a bad way. And it seems that the wrestlers involved have used this situation the best way they possibly could. It's informed their character work wherever they went. CM Punk in WWE, Jack Perry in NJPW and the Young Bucks in AEW. Okay, the CM Punk, obviously, we know what he's been doing in the WWE. Jack Perry has used this situation to become the scapegoat, which he's been killing it in NJPW with the scapegoat character. And if he brings it back to AEW, that's going to be great. So, and the Young Bucks have used everything that's been said about them. They've used it to inform their character work since they turned heel, since they came back on TV and turned heel. It's been part of their character. So they're using this situation the best way possible in the correct format. You use bad situations to inform character work, to drive storyline forward, and to move on in the best possible way you can. And then you have Tony Khan, who is trying to use this, and then further along the Will Ospreay promo later on in the show. Okay, he's trying to use these as gotcha moments to go back to the Attitude Era, the way it used to be, the companies going back and forth at each other using petty little digs and all that. Well, I need to inform you, Tony. You're not better at this than Eric Bischoff, and Eric Bischoff lost. Eric Bischoff lost badly. So I agree with Scholar Jeff on the fact that anything involving CM Punk that isn't used to inform the character work of Jack Perry and the Young Bucks going forward needs to be cut. That's it. You showed the footage. Everything's out now. We're done. Move forward with the character work. Forget about the person who left your company. And let's move on from this, because I agree with Jeff. It was a bad look. And the only reason it works at all is because of the storyline surrounding it, which the Young Bucks and FTR did the best they could to tie it all together in the promo work around the backstage footage. The Young Bucks were funny and petty before actually showing it. And FTR was very passionate and defensive about it, as they should be. They tied it together, and it's like, okay, but we're done now.
What I feel about this was ever since going into it, my response was, or my question was just, why? What are they hoping to get other than just a rating? And that's pretty much all it was. That's what Tony Khan said it all was just to get a rating out of it. But it was a gamble that I feel like should not have happened.
And they didn't even because pop you're, a big
cause
rating. They
it's
only...
just, because yes, it'll work with your current storyline with the Young Bucks and FTR, but there are other ways for them to actually throw hints at that on your on-screen product when you want to be basically saying what you want, showing what you want to show. I would suggest doing that on social media than doing it on your on-screen product, which, as you're trying to keep it in your own kayfabe, the real world aspect, that like adding that much real world aspect is tricky, which WWE and its superstars seem to really get it working, where when they're on TV, they hint at where they do subtle jabs, like subtle hints at one another. But if they want to go into full on detail, they're either posting it or, like Grayson Waller responded, his Twitter response to it. Do you guys know what I'm talking about with that?
I did see that. Yes,
his troll post.
And then Dijak with the.
And then Dijak. Dijak responded.
I saw it. Yeah. The glass was real.
Like, that's the kind of thing that actually would make it work, because the stars are referencing it, but it's not involved with their kayfabe world. Like, using the social media is that blend of the real world aspects. And I feel like if they did that with showing this video or having Will Ospreay respond to Triple H in an interview or anything like that, then yeah, I think that would actually work better, because there's nothing wrong with them wanting to defend themselves from what CM Punk said on the at his interview, and the jabs that Triple H did at the media scrum, which, that's another thing. It's at the media scrum. It's not on the show itself. So they were just aspects that Tony Khan could have used to really be like, defend himself and his company, but using your on-screen product to do it, to defend it to that kind of extreme that it, in the long run, it just wasn't going to work. I mean, God's sake, you have your fans chanting CM Punk, someone who is a part of your competition, chanting that on your show. That is just a big automatic fail. And
someone had to be like, Chicago. So,
and yeah, it wasn't in Chicago. Exactly. So someone had to be like, had to put, are you sure this is going to work? Because I don't see it working at all. But instead, they just let it out. And I guess, I mean, FTR agreed to be a part of that segment. So it wasn't a very good way to defend yourself, in my opinion, which they have every right to defend themselves, but they're going to get basically hosed on no matter what kind of defense they're going to do.
Yeah, exactly. As the backstage talent have put it, okay, that was a lose-lose situation. Okay, CM Punk is a character that has such a cult-like following. And I'm not even saying that like in a bad way. I'm just saying it to explain you're not going to win. Okay? If you're going up against CM Punk, even if he is 100% completely in the wrong, okay, you're not going to win that battle. It doesn't matter, because that's how rabid that dude's fan base is. And I don't think Tony Khan realizes that. So stuff that you could get away with, stuff that you might have been able to get away with anybody else, okay, you're not going to be able to get away with CM Punk. It's one of those, you've already lost no matter what you do. Okay, because if you don't address it, then people think you're cowardly. If you address it the way you addressed it, they're going to do exactly what they've been doing. Okay, you lose no matter what. So at that point, it's like, just do what you do best and put on good wrestling shows.
Put on good wrestling shows and throw those subtle hints of your response to them. You have such creative people that can work their way around this. Hell, even with adding Jack Perry to the Elite stable is just a subtle way of just saying, okay,
it was,
we
can
throw
those
subtle jabs at CM Punk, but we're not actually putting his look, his ref, like, they didn't say his name, but just having him on the show.
What the Young Bucks have been doing, just like Jack Perry, we love your work, or whatever. With Matt Jackson coming out in a scapegoat T-shirt, it's just like, that was working. The last month of AEW television where they've been going subtle jab for jab with CM Punk in the media and all that, and that was fine, that was working. Why did you have to?
It's really just you're pretty much just, I'm trying to find the right word, like vandalizing your product at least just for this particular episode of Dynamite. Because as long as, okay, you got it out of the way. They've been pulling back on it. They're cutting that whole segment thing off because of the response to it. Hopefully not. Okay, it happened. Now let's move on. Let's focus on Dynasty.
Because this is the huge problem. Okay, it was a 2-hour show. That bit of the segment was what? Minute and a half? Maybe 2 minutes? Okay. And that's the only thing we're talking about out of this 2-hour show, which there was a lot of good stuff on this show, but nobody's going to be talking about it.
Well, considering my guy Penta right here had a match with Edge of all people, and it was a damn good one from everything that I saw.
And Edge was doing Lucha Libre? Holy shit.
Yeah, like, I want to talk about that. And like the segment that came immediately after that whole backstage footage thing, we had the debut of Mina Shirakawa on TV doing what she did with Mariah May. I'm like, I want to talk about that. Like,
it's like finally got that partnership with Stardom going.
But yeah, no, like, we're talking about a minute and a half of backstage footage that really did no favors for anybody. That was the weakest.
Because, like,
it didn't even look like it was a huge thing, really. Like the way everybody was making it out to be, like in the months beforehand, I was like, that doesn't even look as bad as like Jericho Goldberg in the backstage where Jericho put him in the headlock. I was just like, it was a push. It was a push and a little choke before they got taken apart. So it's like, this is what all the discourse has been about for the last 8 months.
Yeah, I really don't have too much more to really add to more of this, except really just, I guess, half of a scholar's quick talk that we already kind of touched on before. Is there anything else specific that you would want to see to just move on from this? I know personally, for me, I think it's more critical now than ever to, on their feud at Dynasty, I want FTR to go over the Young Bucks and win, just so they know that, okay, even if you're a fan of, if you're friends with CM Punk or whatever, you as a wrestler are not going to be penalized. Darby, I think, is pretty safe. House of Black, I'm sure, is just going to be just fine as well. And really, the only other thing is I want to see Danhausen back on TV. I don't know why he's not being used, but if it's got anything to do with Punk, like, dude, Tony, it's not Danhausen's fault. Bring him back on the show. Just he can very clearly add to your show. Just give him something to do. It's not hard.
I don't think Danhausen's not being used. I don't think that has to do with CM Punk. Because if being friends with CM Punk was an issue, about half of that roster would be being used poorly. And look, the storyline doesn't work the way you're doing it if FTR goes over. I think at this point, I think you just scrub it. I think you do your best to just scrub it and continue on with what you were doing. Okay? Because I'm 100% of the mind that Jack Perry's going to come out and screw over FTR. given the Young Bucks the titles, and we have the tyrannical elite faction that takes over the company until Kenny Omega and Hangman Page come back.
That's a potential hinting at the prediction show for Dynasty next week.
Exactly, but I mean like that, but I mean like FTR going over I don't think it works, and I don't think that it should be used as like a bargaining chip. That's like, okay, we're going to completely change our storyline around so that we can make this feel better. I'm like,
the
no.
The fact that they were trying to use this whole thing as a storyline is just showing like they are going the path they want to go. They just wanted to add this particular fact, because it's always possible that they've been planning to potentially have him join it in the future, but that's it. That's only time will tell us. Now, as long as they've moved on from having CM Punk live in their head rent free, then yeah, by all means, let's go ahead. Let's keep going. Everyone wants to move on, so let's just move on from it.
Couldn't have put it any better than myself. Especially when moving on in our particular case means we get to talk about what is probably one of the greatest WrestleManias in history. We are, of course, talking about WrestleMania 40. And as we go down and talk about night one and then night two, obviously, we're going to be talking about from different perspectives. Tarek, Brian, you guys are obviously going to be talking about from watching at a home perspective. And I'm going to be talking about what it was like in the arena on those two nights. Because I feel like there was a lot of things that sort of got, I don't want to say distorted, but the perspectives were, I can see them varying wildly because of where we were all sitting and what we were all hearing and experiencing. And also, I heard no commentary. So, yeah, as we go along, I'd love to hear your how it came across on TV, for certain moments, certain matches. And I'll also add in my input too, as far as like what we were experiencing in that arena at that time. Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right. So kicking things off, we're going into WrestleMania night one. I noticed, I'm not sure how it showed up on TV, but night one, I noticed they put on that little weather bug apps about like how it was feeling in the arena. It was like,
yeah,
early 50s. Well, I'll tell you what, night one, I was up in like the 200s, the highest deck. And with the wind chill, it felt like it was in the 40s. It wasn't so bad when the sun was up, but it got cold as the night went on, for sure.
That is the downfall of being in the north in April. You can't guarantee good normal weather at the beginning of April in the north.
And it really is, because that night was just very cold. It definitely really affected the feel that night one had for us watching it at home. Like at first, with opening it with Rhea and Becky, it's like, okay, it started off a nice slow match, and the crowd were silent, and we're just going, okay, well, this is a very interesting match to choose as your opener. It's like, but it's a nicely paced match, and then it starts getting bigger and bigger, and the crowd starts picking up, and then at the end, by the end, you're just thinking, okay, that was a very good WrestleMania match opener, but you got like, I think like the one of the loudest matches of night one had to have been that tag team match.
Oh yeah, that was just that. First of all, okay, love the fact I love Motionless in White. the band. So the fact that they played out Rhea Ripley, Aces. So I was like, I was already locked in.
I will say, though, just in their live, I had no idea. I don't know who the front man is for Motionless and White, but not only was the live performance good, but it was like just the hype up from the crowd, especially that helped out a lot to like shrug off the cold. Like it seems like the entire day we were just sort of like feeding off of the excitement from the performance itself. And especially right out of the gate, whoever the front man is for Motionless and White, between his performance and just hyping up Rhea Ripley, it was like, let's give it up for mommy. Like, yeah, mommy. And that sort of kept us going. It was great.
And quite honestly, wrestling wise, it might have been the match of the night for me. Just wrestling wise, not everything surrounding it and all that, just straight wrestling. Yeah, I could honestly say night one, match of the night. But the right woman won. I still think that Rhea should hold the title until we get a Rhea versus Bianca match. I think that that's the main money match for either SummerSlam or next year's WrestleMania. So I think they made the right move there, because it puts over Rhea Ripley huge to beat Becky Lynch clean, and that's two out of the four horsewomen. So good for her. But yeah, that tag team match was nuts, was insane. And of course,
to be clear, we're talking about the ladder match, correct?
The ladder match, yeah. But that was insane. And I actually think it was a little bit too insane, because it felt like the crowd wasn't really interested for the next hour and a half after that match.
I'd say not only was it at that point where the cold really started settling in, even though the matches themselves were great. I think it was that spike of adrenaline from those who were close enough to see like every single little intricate spot. But it was around that time when I think the cold was really settling in for a lot of people, particularly those of us who were on the upper deck. So thankfully.
Go ahead.
Yeah, thankfully, as the night went on, there were also some really good matches to keep us engaged. The Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso match is the only... I actually missed this match because I was online at the concession stand trying to get coffee and whatever else I could get. The concession stand actually ran out of hot chocolate, and it was just like coffee or nothing to keep everybody warm. So I was actually on the line for so long, I missed that entire match. But after that, I just had hot coffee and good wrestling propelling me through the rest of the matches, which kept me through. Like, honestly, my match of the night would probably go to either Gunther and Sami Zayn, or Rock and Roman versus Cody and Seth. Because it was so cold, I feel like I want to rewatch Gunther Sami with a fresh set of eyes that are not just like me also trying to fight off the cold while trying to watch this match, because even the reactions that we did see in the arena, it started off more like a 50-50 split between Sammy and Gunther. But then after you could see Sammy bringing everyone else around to him, being all getting all that sympathy on him, like only Sammy can do. And then it was like almost everyone in that arena was solidly behind Sammy, and that was impressive enough.
I'm gonna be completely honest. When I said that Rhea versus Becky was wrestling wise my match of the night, I forgot Sammy versus Gunther was on night one. I had lumped it in with night two because I considered night two to be basically the perfect show. So like in my head, I was like, of course, Sammy versus Gunther was on night two. And then as you said that, I'm like, no, that was on night one. So yeah, obviously Sammy versus Gunther, wrestling match wise, match of the weekend. Not story, not everything involving it, because obviously the match that everyone's going to remember over the weekend is the one we're going to talk about later.
Oh,
obviously, for obvious reasons. But wrestling wise, straight up wrestling match technician wise, yeah, Sammy versus Gunther takes all that. That was big. If Cody versus Roman wasn't on this weekend show, that would have easily stolen the weekend.
Yeah, there was a lot to like about that. Again, because of the cold in the arena that night, I feel like I couldn't enjoy it as much as I really wanted to. But there was still a whole lot to like, yes.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to night one and the whole response of the, like, everyone responding to the obvious cold weather, it was definitely noticeable pretty much after the tag match and between Sammy and Gunther. Like, they're basically the victims of that, of you guys basically just like, yeah, we're invested, but we can't really respond to it because we want to stay bundled up and warm, was Jimmy and Jay. But to be fair, when it comes to that match, that actually is the only real disappointment match of the entire weekend for me. It felt more like a TV match. So when you told us when you were there, oh, I totally missed the Jimmy Jay match, my response was, in all honesty, you didn't miss anything.
Exactly. That was I'm actually kind of sad because I was looking forward to that a lot. And legitimately, that was something you could have thrown at the 9 o'clock hour of Raw, just thrown it out there, and we would have been perfectly fine with that ending it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a basic TV match.
Yeah, exactly. It was a TV match. The other victim of that of night one that really felt the effects of the cold was the tag team match between Rey Mysterio and Andrade versus Dominik and Santos Escobar, which actually, like, really hurt to say, because one, you had a great video package that reminds me, I'm like, man, I'm watching the video package of this and I'm like, wow, this storyline has been really told differently because it's been expanded for so long that when you actually get it in one video package, cutting that extra time, like the time away, it's actually a really good storyline. It's with the whole Ray can't really keep a friendship with everyone, with anyone, including his own son. Hell, he's had that list long through his career. Batista, Eddie, I'm trying to think of
he who must not be named. Brock Lesnar?
Yeah, it's still. Oh yeah, he who must not be named. Yeah, he has those. He has a long history of people that he's working with, that he's in with, and yeah, it just ends up working against him. And the match itself was actually a really good match, and like you have all these great spots. I mean, hell, that Andrade moonsault off the turnbuckle, that was just a thing of beauty. But no one responded to it because, of course, it's freezing. It's understandable. And then you had to have a sports celebrity come in and completely ruin the story that was being told. In all honesty, I was predicting Carlito to come in and actually cost Rey and Andrade the match because, in all honesty, Dominik and Santos needed this win in order to keep this storyline going, to keep us invested. But they just used it to they sacrificed it just for a celebrity's run-in segment. So that was another criticism I had. But other than that, once then we got into Sammy Gunther, and I had basically a tear running down my eye because I knew when I made the prediction of Gunther winning on the prediction show, I knew I was wrong. That was in a very rare occurrence, predicting with my heart. I knew Gunther was losing, but I just couldn't predict against him. But I knew it was over, and it was just such a greatly told story that I'm looking at this. I'm like, this is like such a great way for Gunther to end this great title reign that he had.
I will say this one thing about the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line running in to save Rey Mysterio and that match. You will never hear me say a bad word about Jason Kelce. It will never happen. However, everything about the end of that match is based off of a Super Bowl party where it is shown online that he was dancing wearing a luchador mask. That was that entire thing. All of it.
That is such a lame
excuse. So I'm like, look, I'm like, you could have been there. You could have done that after the match. You could
if
have
gonna
had,
have. If you were going to have him involved in this, you should have shown him in the audience instead of having him just be a random run-in.
You have Dominic win. Okay. And you have what's Santos's stable called?
Shit, why am I blanking out? Something Phantasma.
Legado del Phantasma.
Legado del Phantasma, thank you.
You have them circle around Rey Mysterio and
so have it be a post-match segment.
Have them in a post-match segment. Have them do what they did in a post-match segment. Then you get the Philly pop that you, if it's not cold and they're not bundled up, you get the Philly legend pop and all that, and it works better than what you did. It doesn't affect the story. You still have Legado del Fantasma come out on top and look menacing, and you still get the hometown hero pop. That would have been a better way to do it. I will give Tarek that. You still will never hear me say a bad word about Jason Kelce, though.
I'm not saying don't have him on the show. Just have him somewhere on the show that doesn't sacrifice a storyline match.
Well, be that as it may.
And then you get the main event, which was so much fun.
Yeah, that honestly was more robust than I thought it would ever than it was ever going to be.
The Rock can still go.
He absolutely can. He's The Rock.
He definitely trained his ass off.
Yeah, that was what that match
was. Thank you, Bobby Roode.
That was what that match was. That was a vehicle to show that The Rock can still go. That was basically all that match was. And it worked in spades. And now we set up for The Rock versus Cody whenever that happens.
I really enjoyed, yeah, it's nice to really see, yeah, The Rock really working, like he trained his ass off to really show, yeah, I want to do this. I'm not just a celebrity appearance every once in a while.
Yeah.
I'm here because I'm taking this seriously.
And he worked hard enough that he didn't tear 15 muscles in the first 5 minutes of the match like he did with those Cena matches.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm just very happy, like, this match was WWE's Infinity War. WrestleMania Night 2, which we'll go into, was their MCU Endgame.
It absolutely was, and I can't really come up with a better transition other than that. Going into Night 2, the atmosphere was totally different. The weather was much better. It was actually relatively comfortable and warm mm-hmm. when the sun was out. So we're like, yeah, the vibe is great. Everyone was noticeably way more hype and way more excited going in, especially when, if you've been to a live show, you know you've got the announcers gradually rolling in. They get there like, oh yeah, it's Michael Cole. It's nice to see Michael Cole. And everyone likes to do the Pat McAfee thing. And then everyone's just sort of sitting around, okay, waiting for a show to begin. And all of a sudden, Punk's music hits, and everyone's just like, suddenly Punk is here, and the crowd all explodes. And that's when we realize, oh, snap, we're going to be getting Seth versus Drew McIntyre is opening the show. And then that whole thing happened, and gradually we start figuring out, oh, crap. Drew is probably going to get attacked by Punk, and then Damian Priest is going to cash in tonight. Oh, man, oh, man.
I was yelling at the TV. I'm like, Drew, just go to the back. Just celebrate and go to the back. As soon as he turned towards Punk, I'm like, it's over, man. It's over.
I'm just like, I
saw it before, happening. Yes. All right.
Before we go into the cash in, we just gotta simply point out, I am super, super happy for Drew to finally get his moment, his world championship win at WrestleMania in front of a live crowd.
For sure.
You see the look on his eyes. You see the look in his face. He is basically like, it was all worth it. Between when he won it with no fans to now winning it with thousands of fans cheering for him, wanting him to take the title off Rollins. Because you even said it yourself in our chat, Jeff. He was like, it was a very pro Drew crowd.
For sure. And once he got that.
Yeah, once he got it, we were so happy for him, and we're just, the second he turned and looked at Punk and was heading, I'm like, Punk's gonna cost him the title with a cash in, is he? I was like, Jeff and Caesar are gonna watch a cash in. Oh my god!
The duality of a Philly crowd. They want you to win, but they also really want to cash in.
It was more like the excitement. Once we saw what was happening and what it was all leading up to, it was like, it was just like the excitement of the anticipation of like, oh, he's going to do it. It's going to happen. Damian's Priest is going to happen. The Priest is going to cash in. And then the second Damian, the Judgment Day music hit, you literally felt the entire arena shaking. Like I don't know if I've ever experienced like that before in my life. Just like, whoa, the atmosphere is just like, I know I sent exploded. You a brief video, but it really doesn't capture the wave of sound that just erupted from the crowd that moment. It was.
Oh, amazing. I imagine. And just like before going into WrestleMania, the idea of like the Drew cashing in and then getting immediately cashed on, I hated the idea. The only reason why I looked at that segment and looked at that cash in and was just like, oh my God, that is incredibly brilliant, is because of CM Punk. The second Judgment Day music hits and you see, I don't know if they showed it on the screen or not for you, Jeff, but like just the look of Punk's face when he's putting together what's going on, and you just see that look on his face going, I'm going to cost this man his title.
He's got that look like, on his face once, like, I didn't even plan this, but okay.
It's like, I am taking advantage of this situation.
There were snippets where the things sort of cut in between what was happening in the ring and CM Punk and all that. I feel like,
and the video, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like the live thing showed more of CM Punk's little reactions. we in the live crowd got more of the immediate aftermath of just like, okay, I can live with this. This was cool. All right. But in terms of just like the immediate, like, oh, this is what's happening now, we didn't get nearly as much as it got memed online. But even so, like, all of Punk's got a very animated face. So, like, we got, like, I want to say about 80% of that.
Okay. And then, yeah, that's just the beginning of just, I can't think of a single criticism I have for this, for Night 2.
Yeah, Night 2 was basically perfect.
Like, I cannot think of a single bad thing to come out of that show.
I can.
Not even a nitpick.
I can.
What do you?
As you may be aware, there was a little known fact about that event.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking
there
about.
There was a very rare WrestleMania flavored bottle of Prime that was only available at WrestleMania at the Lincoln Financial Field. And I could not for the life of me find any. But apparently it was only given out at like one, at like the Pepsi, exit entrance thing.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was nowhere else. You could only grab some there. I'm like, dude, give me the Prime. Like, make it publicly available. Like, come on.
No, you can't do that. Logan Paul's a heel. He's got to make you wander the arena trying to find the elusive Prime.
I have to ask, since you're bringing up the drinks, did you guys get a souvenir cup?
I did not get a souvenir cup, but a lot of people did. They were at the concessions. The WWE WrestleMania Superstore had them all over the place.
Like, funny enough, when I went to 35, once WrestleMania ended, as I was leaving, there were souvenir cups all over the place. So I just picked a couple up and just took them.
Yeah.
I wasn't the only one. There were people collecting like giant piles ready to sell them on the internet.
Yeah, a lot of people were really excited about them, but like I was talking with somebody else in my section on Night 2, like, they're neat, I get it, but collecting cups was just never my thing. I was like, okay, good on you. I'm just going to spend my money on overpriced arena beers instead.
Mm-hmm. It's like, that's just the whole, like, I try got to find a drink experience. Wrestling show-wise, can you think of a single thing?
Wrestling show wise, that was sort of a half joke on my part. I really can't think of too much. It really wasn't a tempo wise, match quality wise. I would put this entire show on par with any other I've been to in my life.
It's more the emotions of it. It's more the emotions of it because you know what's coming at the end. You're so excited for it, and you just slowly get amped. You slowly get more and more amped as the night goes along. And then when what you're hoping for at the end of the night actually happens, okay, it's like euphoria. It's like It's like if there was anything bad, anything you didn't like, it's like the moment the euphoria hits, it's like that thing you didn't like doesn't really matter that much anymore. But like, then again, like, Night 2, you're watching it. Night 2, you're watching it. There was nothing disappointing or bad like on Night 1.
I will say, however, that if obviously I think we all know what's going to go for like match of the night, match of the weekend, whatever. I will say the most surprising match for me was Io Sky versus Bayley. That one, those ladies were putting in work, and they managed to get a whole lot more energy from the crowd that night than I was really expecting. And for the entire WrestleMania season, even when all this Cody and CM Punk stuff was happening, I give EO and Bailey a whole lot of credit because they really seem to have been a real dark horse pick for like a surprisingly good, solid, great quality feud and subsequent match. So I can't let that go without giving that those ladies their nod.
It helps when you basically have how long were they together? I think it was like two years, right?
Last SummerSlam,
2021 or something.
They came in SummerSlam when the crowds came back.
Okay, so they basically had 2.5 years of build.
Oh yeah,
because it was like a Triple H baby storyline, it's like everything about that paid off.
It was a full payoff, and in all honesty, I think wrestling wise, that was my match of the night. Because Bailey and EO just delivered on a whole new level. And I can really just say that with literally everyone that wrestled on night two. The six-man tag with the Final Testament versus the Pride. Granted, I was also losing my mind in joy because once they said that Snoop Dogg was guest commentary and Bubba Ray Dudley is special guest referee, that just solidified. I'm like, oh, good. I'm successfully retaining this title. Once those things came out, I'm like, yep, Pride's winning. Final Testament isn't. I'm walking out of Mania as champion. But even with that aside, that was such a fun story told between those teams, and just getting Bubba involved at the end. It's just like, okay, this was a feel good moment, which continued on with LA Knight and AJ Styles, I was just really impressed with how great of a match those two worked.
Yeah, I was surprised because I got to be completely honest. As much the popularity around LA Knight, I understand. I understood the whole time, but never really thought too much about his wrestling ability. Just because you didn't see it. His matches were like short. Okay, and in that match against Roman, okay, you didn't really get to see a lot of his skill. So
because
it's like
a Roman style match.
This is the first time where it's like I completely get the hype. He put everything together. Like I've seen the personality, I've seen the character work, I understood that. It's like I didn't understand the hype behind the wrestling work because I hadn't seen it. I hadn't seen him given license to like go all out because he had those feuds with the Fiend. He had feuds with Roman Reigns where he was not the focal point. He wasn't supposed to be the main guy in the match. Show me what you can do. That was not what those matches were. Like this was the first time where it's like, okay, I get it.
I will say, however, just as a sidebar, in terms of just those fan chants, I gotta say the three I've heard the most were the LA Knight yaz, the Cody Rhodes woe, and probably a contender for the most frequent, the yeet chants. Like there was so many yeets, so many yaz doing the whole LA Knight thing. Just like they were practically on par with. I heard them more than woo, if you can believe that.
I'll say this about the yeet. Okay, as fun as it is to play around with the who's gonna win, yeet or no yeet, that was fun. Okay. It's completely ruined his character work. It really has. He's a caricature now. It's like it's at the point, okay, with the, when he won the number one contender match with Damian Priest, I immediately was like, okay, Damian Priest has at least got to get one title defense in.
That's fair.
It's like the character work that was put in with Jey Uso in the Bloodline is gone now, based off of one word, which is fine if you want to run with it. But all that character, all that 2.5 years of serious character work, killed by Yeet Chant. It's Jey Uso. He could get it back whenever he wants. He could go right back to that. But it's like I can't take that dude seriously at the moment. Can't do it.
But all that being said, I'd say the main event got super serious after that. Just, and I think it went in a direction that nobody around saw coming. Like we all.
Oh, I when you were in the arena, you might have not seen it coming. I unfortunately frequent the dirt sheets. So one of the names was different, but I had a feeling that John Cena and an extra were going to show up.
Yeah, and everyone in the crowd did too. It just wasn't the way we thought it was going to go. Like, we all saw Jay coming, the thing off the stage, everyone popped really hard for. Obviously, we knew The Rock was going to be in the mix, all that stuff.
I
We
did
knew
enjoy
that.
the callback though. I did, with the Cody doing the multiple crossroads, and after the second one, you just see Solo with the thumb, and it's like, oh shit, this has got to happen again.
Yeah, there were so I was shocked by how many callbacks there were and how clean they all were. Like, and then Cena comes out, which a lot of people were anticipating. He just takes out Solo for payback, and then The Rock comes out, and then there's all that, and we expect the glass to break and Stone Cold. And not even that. We got, and then the Shield music hits. I'm like, I know some people were like, for a split second, were like, oh, is Dean Ambrose coming back? But I'll be honest, at that point, that was just, I was just in such a fever pitch. I was just react because I didn't expect to hear Sierra Eka, Lima Delta, Shield in the year of our Lord 2024. So I'm just like, Shield, what? I don't know what that means, but Shield, I'm freaking out. And then we hear the dong, and I'm like,
I had a heart attack.
I'm just,
The second I heard that, I'm just going.
And then the lights go out, the lights come back, and it's Biker Taker just giving him the
but
mean
I don't
look.
even, no one even cared at that point.
No.
I'm just like, I'm just making noises with my face. I'm just like, Undertaker. And then dong, and they're like, dong, and I'm to Cody. I'm barely speaking English. I'm just like, I'm just a big mess of just like yelling things. And eventually, we got the 1, 2, 3 crossroads, and then just the cathartic most mo moment that we were all waiting for. And it was just absolutely fantastic.
Dart can tell you,
Oh.
okay, I called him after this match because I finally figured something out. Because I was laughing my ass off when Seth Rollins got taken out twice like a chump. And then I realized that's the bit. I'm like, the only reason Roman Reigns lost this match is because he got consumed by his he got consumed by the thought of getting revenge against Seth. when he could have easily taken out Cody, when he took out Seth with the chair shot. It's like his obsession with Seth Rollins is what cost him the undisputed title, basically causing Rollins's words to come true. He was the shield for Cody Rhodes. He took the chair shot that was meant for Cody Rhodes, and Cody capitalized. And that's how Cody won, because Roman couldn't get out of his own head.
It's like Cody won because Seth Rollins proved once again why he is the architect. He knows that Roman Kent is saying a lot again, that he is fully moved on from the ghosts of his past of just 10 years of just thinking, oh, there was that moment. I trusted Seth with my life. He was my brother. But once he's hit him with that chair, it just haunted him. It is just that, it's like, yeah, he may be the tribal chief. He may call himself greatness on another level, but he is still he has those ghosts of his past that come back to haunt him. He may think he's done, but no, it's still without that betrayal, it would never have come to the point where he is the tribal chief.
He created the bloodline to be subservient to himself so that he wouldn't have to go through that again.
And yeah, it's great character work that has been built. Like, oh, it's nice that Triple H can actually tell good stories, because we would never have gotten this with Vince. And with just that great storytelling, it's just, yeah, Roman became like the ghost of Roman's past became his own enemy, and Seth ended up being the shield for Cody, which gave him enough time to counter the spear and hit the three crossroads. 1, 2, 3. Me collapsing on the floor the second that three hit, and I'm just bawling in tears with so much happiness.
Me completely prepared to just shit all over the WWE if they did what they did last year again, and then all the weight coming off of my shoulders when they actually did what they should have done last year.
The catharsis
feels so good when they stick the landing. When they actually stick the landing in the most impressive way, it's the best feeling in the world.
So that being said, with the ending that we got and all the wrestling we saw, what would your final beard ratings be for WrestleMania 20 in its entirety?
For WrestleMania 40, I will go...
40, what did I say, 20?
Yeah. Okay, we're going back in time.
I was thinking back to just the other super cathartic moment in the main event of WrestleMania. That was just a moment for me.
That's actually very interesting. You went to WrestleMania 20 and then you went to WrestleMania 40.
The significance is absolutely not lost on me. I'd say the main events were both supremely cathartic, both in different ways, but great main events all around. Anyway. Mm-hmm.
All right, facial hair ratings. You can go first, Brian.
Facial hair ratings, go ahead.
While I will not commit to this being my favorite WrestleMania ever, I'm still going with 17 on that one. Based off of how I felt after night two. Night one, it was looking a little rough. Okay, but with how they stuck the landing on everything on night two, it's a goat face. It's an easy goat face. They did everything right on night two. And yes, I'm including Logan Paul in the triple threat match in that. Sorry, Kevin Owens. I've got plans
Hey,
for Logan Paul.
That match was great too.
Yeah, I've got plans for Logan Paul, and unfortunately, they don't involve you. But that's it. But yeah, it's easy go face.
Well, what about you?
The thing is with this Mania. Was I won't go to the extreme with night one as Brian is, because one, it's just a benefits that is out of people's control trying to keep themselves warm. Did it affect the show? Partially. Jay and Jimmy would have done, like, would have been bad anyway for me. And there's that ending. Other than that, I had no real issues with night one. And just the, excuse me, the sheer perfection that brought that night two brought us completely washed away any real gripes that I had with this. There has never been a WrestleMania where I was in literal tears of joy. I have never cried for a WrestleMania. At least of that's not true with Undertaker's retirement, sure, but that's crying in it for a different feeling, like different for a different emotion. This show, WrestleMania 40 in all, was just an experience like nothing, like no other WrestleMania brought me before. This definitely was a new era in WWE. Vince McMahon's mannerisms are gone. This show was just no longer sports entertainment. This show finally brought professional wrestling back in WWE. It now and they're slowly pushing sports entertainment out the door. Finally, we don't ever have to ever reference those two words again by a man who, yes, got us to a point where we can get here, but now it's now down a line something that even greater than he ever brought. And that's why this is hands down my personal favorite WrestleMania. Because I don't see them going anywhere but up at this point. Like the one real flaw that WrestleMania 17 had is that was peak WWE at that time. And then afterwards, they started going down. I don't see WWE going down after this Mania. And that's why I'm just like, I have never been so hopeful after a WrestleMania. And I can't wait to see what they brought next. So it is just full on goat face, just burst through the ceiling. I absolutely love this. And I just can't be any more excited for what's to come.
Yeah, I think I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5 classic goatee. Moving on. And if you believe
Oh.
that, I've got a bridge in Brooklyn to sell you. Come on. This is the easiest goat face. 5 out of 5 stars. Easy out. Frankly, the only thing I'm disappointed is that I didn't get a louder reaction from either of you for that one, because obviously that was a bunch of BS. This show, obviously, I'm biased. I got to be there, humble brag, whatever, no big deal. But in all seriousness, between this 2 day stretch, being surrounded by all those fans, going to WrestleCon, being immersed in all that is WWE and wrestling and all these great things, this is what I this really these kinds of weekends are all about. This is what fandom itself is made of. And not just getting the show you want, just the moments, the vibes, the results, the storytelling, all of the athleticism, all of it, every single little bit. This is one of those shows where this is what it's all about in the mix right there. So yeah, all no more joking from me. This is easily one of the finest not just WrestleManias, but wrestling shows I have ever seen. Easiest goat faced I can remember in some time, if not ever.
I think we can lock up some award season awards.
Yeah, seriously.
After this show, right? I don't think we have to think very hard about show of the year this year.
this is certainly a standard bearer.
The one like real great thing that I can really say that came out of this WrestleMania is that I'm going through so many different like social forms of like entertainment that I follow. And the fact that somehow they're bringing in WrestleMania involved with it, and that has nothing to do with wrestling, that's just showing that the popularity of WWE is going back to where it really is just saying, it is very cool to be a wrestling fan again. And I'm really happy about that. I'm super proud, I can't be any more proud. To be a wrestling fan after this weekend.
Couldn't have said any better myself. So that is finally our more consolidated thoughts for WrestleMania weekend as we can get. There was certainly so much to love, so much to enjoy, but now is when we're going to be turning it over to you, our fellow fans. What else did you think of WrestleMania? Did you see any other shows over the weekend? What else did you enjoy? Other big moments from your weekend? Wherever you are, let us know what you think wherever you are. YouTube comments, Facebook posts, Instagram, whatever you got. But if you want to join in the conversation directly, you can always join us on our Twitter machines. Cool. Where can they reach you?
You can find me at the Avataric. And be sure to like this video and subscribe to the channel.
You know the deal.
Of course.
Brian, where can they reach you?
You can find me at Atomic Beanpole.
And you can find me at I'm Robbie Rage. And for all of the relevant social media links and much, much more, check us out in the description below for our Linktree. That's Linktree/Scholars of Wrestling for everything that we're about and then some. And with that, that is our show. But we're going to be back again next time for more wrestling and to usher in more of this great new era of wrestling. We're going to be covering it all because you know who we are. We are the Scholars of Wrestling, and you have just been schooled. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
See you all for the next week of the new era.